Student Loan Show, episode 50. On today's big 50th show, we're going to be talking about new data regarding federal student loan default rates. We're going to talk about how the government is getting their money and the big problem, student loan scams. Coming right at you here on our big 50th episode of the Student Loan Show. Hello again, and welcome to the Student Loan Show. This is episode 50, big 50. My name is Jay Fleischman. I am your host today, as well as every episode of the Student Loan Show. I want to thank you so much for the download and for sticking around for 50 whole episodes. It's been a wild ride, and I'm so happy that I've been able to bring this information to you, and hopefully that you've passed some of this information along to other people who may need the help also. Now, today's show is kind of a special one. I've been sitting on this one for a little while, and I would really appreciate it if you would go out and you would share this episode with anybody that you know. Put it on Facebook, send it out on Twitter, send out links to your friends and family members by email. Anybody you know who's got a student loan, this is the episode that you definitely want to send along to them, because we're going to be talking about not only the new government data on federal student loan default rates, which will totally knock your socks off, but also how the government is getting their money from these defaulted federal student loans. It is absolutely mind-blowing. Then we're going to dovetail and talk about all of the student loan scams that are going on. There are so many of them. The federal government is starting to come down on people, but it's like whack-a-mole. Every time you get one, another one pops up. So hang out, listen to what's going on. This is going to be a big one, guys. So have a seat and relax. Here we go. So Federal Student Aid, which is an office of the Department of Education, released a series of quarterly reports that reflect federal student loan activity through December 31st, 2015. And what these reports do is it really serves on the whole to provide a deep look into the state of affairs of federal student loans, and it is frightening. According to the new direct loan default report, 20% of all federal loan borrowers are in default on their federal student loans, and that translates into about $121 billion of loans in default. But wait, that's not the worst part of it, because those are only the loans that are in repayment. Once you add in the number of borrowers who are in forbearance, deferment, or just in delinquency, and again, for those of you who don't remember, delinquency is when you're past due, and default is once you are 270 days past due. So if you add in forbearance, deferment, or delinquency, the numbers look even worse. 40%, 4 out of every 10 borrowers, are not making any payments on their federal student loans whatsoever. 4 out of 10, not paying anything. More than 336,000 borrowers entered default in the last quarter, the last 3 months of 2015. And overall for the year 2015, more than 1 million borrowers entered default on their federal student loans. And most of these borrowers aren't there for the first time. According to the Department of Education, 24,500 of those borrowers are in default for at least the second time. And those defaults, by the way, are doing nothing but feeding 22 private collection agencies that are contracted by the Department of Education to go after these borrowers. Now, these are some sick numbers. During the quarter that ends December 31st, 2015, the Department of Education recovered more than $2.2 billion in defaulted student loans through those private collection agencies. More than three quarters of the recoveries were due to rehabilitations. That's $1.7 billion. Nearly 10% were due to consolidations. 8%, that's $170 million, was through wage garnishments. And almost 4% were just voluntary payments. Separately, that doesn't even include the Treasury Offset Program. That's the program that takes your Social Security money or takes your tax refunds. The U.S. Department of Treasury reported that it had collected $27 billion through their Treasury Offset Program in 2015 alone. Think about that. Let that sink in. $170 million in administrative wage garnishments, that's 15% of disposable income, and $27 billion through the Treasury Offset Program. That's involuntary turnovers of Social Security money and tax refund money. Now, the collection agencies don't get anything off of the Treasury Offset Program. So that goes straight to late fees and interest and then principal. But out of the $2.2 billion that the department recovered through private collection agencies, you got to remember, those collection agencies tack on an additional 24%, almost a quarter of every dollar to that student loan balance. It's amazing. Think of how much money these collection agencies are getting. But the Department of Education released these reports because it wanted to tout the fact that it's been working really hard to get the word out to borrowers about income-dependent repayment options. And in fact, 4.6 million borrowers are enrolled in income-dependent repayment plans, which is a 48% increase from December 2014. That's pretty good. It's also a 140% increase from the year before, 2013. That's fantastic. But the fact that 4 out of 10 federal student loans are not being paid at all, and the fact that $2.2 billion in federal student loans are in default, and the fact that $1.7 billion of recoveries were through rehabs and $170 million through wage garnishments and $27 billion through a Treasury Offset Program says to me that the information isn't getting out there. And that brings us, my friends, to the big problem. And that's the one that's largely flying under the radar. That problem is the student loan debt relief scams that prey on people who just can't get a straight answer about their options, and they're looking for any possible answer to their problems. And you've seen them online. I see them on Facebook all the time. I see them on Google all the time. And they go by these fantastic names. It's the Student Loan Obama Debt Relief Center, the Student Loan Assistance Reduction Program, Student Loan Forgiveness Obama Relief, all of these words just kind of jumble around in my head, but you get the idea. And some of the companies use logos, URLs, an American flag, and robocall scripts to convince people that they're affiliated with the Department of Education, but they're not. And other companies just make these great promises that you can get forgiveness of your federal student loans right now if only you will pay them a small amount of money. Now, what the companies are doing is they're putting you into federal student loan consolidation through the U.S. Department of Education's Direct Consolidation Loan Program, and then following it with one of the income-dependent repayment options. More often than not, they're getting you into IBR, income-based repayment. And those are programs that you can access for free through the Department of Education or your student loan servicer. But here's the rub. Your student loan servicers don't give out the information. All your student loan servicers do, and if you've got federal student loans, you already know this, you make a phone call to the federal student loan servicer, you tell them that you're having a problem making your payments, and they throw you into a forbearance. That's all they do. And they rubber stamp it, and they move on from there. And once you run out of forbearance, they tell you there's nothing that they can do to help you. if you're in default, these companies, these scam companies, what are they going to do? They're going to consolidate your loans for you under, again, the direct loan program. Most of the time, they're not going to put you through rehab because that's something that takes time. Rehab requires a steady hand talking to the debt collector, working out a reasonable and affordable repayment agreement to bring you out of default, and they're not doing it, in spite of the fact that rehab is often a better financial deal that is not only going to allow you to bring your loan out of default, but it's going to give you a better credit report also, because after rehab, that default gets scrubbed out of your credit report. In addition, I just told you about the debt collection fees, 24%. That's not what they get on rehab. They get that when you consolidate. It's a cure fee, but it's the same thing. It's still 24%. Whatever the debt collector gets, they get 24% of, which is why if you go into default, you get a letter from the debt collector and your balance is just off the charts. It's way higher than you thought that it was. And that's because the debt collector shows you the prospective collection fees. If you rehabilitate, the debt collector only gets 24% of the amount of money that you're paying. So if your rehab payment is, say, $100, debt collector gets 24% of that. That's it. And then they get a little over $1,700 once the rehab is completed. But even if you take those together, your balance isn't going up nearly as much when you rehab as when you consolidate. But these scam companies, it's all churn and burn. They want to get you in the door. They want to collect your money. They want to sign you up for their program. They want to razzle-dazzle you, and they want to get you out the door. They don't want to stick around for 9 months, because that's how long a rehab is going to last. 9 monthly payments over a 10-month period of time. And they surely do not want to spend the time to deal with the debt collector to get a reasonable and affordable payment plan together for you. That's not profitable for these companies. So they throw you into consolidation, collect their money, and they move. That's it. Boom, they're done. And beyond that, the problem isn't just with federal student loans. These private student loan scams are growing day by day. All of the companies that were doing debt settlement 10 years ago, and then they switched to become mortgage modification companies when the bottom dropped out of the mortgage market in 07 and 08. All of those companies, there aren't as many foreclosures going on. There's not as much debt settlement going on because consumer debt overall isn't as high as it was. So all of these companies have transitioned into private student loan debt settlement companies. And look, debt settlement for your private student loans, not a terrible idea. It really isn't. But the way that they structure is amazing. In fact, I have been getting calls lately from people who have been talking with a so-called national law firm. I'm not using any names, but this so-called national law firm is promising to settle their private student loans for 40 cents on the dollar, get them a new loan to cover the settlement amount, as well as to cover the law firm's fee of, I've seen, a whopping nearly $20,000 in a legal fee for settling the debt, for guaranteeing that they settle the debt. Now, think about it. If you believe for 1 minute that anyone at all, can guarantee the outcome of a negotiated settlement, then you're out of your mind. There's no way to predict and guarantee any particular outcome ever. If I am dealing with somebody else to do anything, they don't have to accept anything that I offer to them. If I'm negotiating with National Collegiate Student Loan Trust or Navient or any of the other private student loan companies that are out there, I can't guarantee to anybody what they're going to take on a settlement or when they're going to take on that settlement. I can't get into their head. I've got a pretty good idea of what they normally settle for, but I can't guarantee any of my clients a specific settlement amount. I don't think that it's ethical for me to promise you a specific result. What if I'm wrong? There is no way to predict or guarantee any particular outcome ever. And what's bananas is, and I read this law firm's contract, and when you hire them, they tell you to stop paying the private student loan. And that makes perfect sense because no lender is going to negotiate with you if you're paying them on time. Why would I take less if I'm already getting what I'm asking for? But your credit score is going to take a nosedive when that happens. Obviously, you're not paying the debt, so your credit score is going to sink like a rock. So how is it that this mysterious lender is going to come out of the woodwork and approve you for a loan? Okay, well, this law firm knows of this one particular lender, and they claim up and down that they're not getting anything on the back end. They're not getting any referral fee. They're not associated or affiliated with them. Nothing. Even if that's true, do you think that this lender is going to give you a great interest rate and fantastic payment terms? Of course not. Any loan you're going to be able to get when you're in default on a massive student loan is going to be one step away from a loan shark operating in the back of a dimly lit restaurant. That's it. You're not getting a great interest rate. And let's say you settle for 40 cents on the dollar. Sounds like a good idea, right? Well, if your interest rate's going to go up, and if you're going to be paying that whopping nearly $20,000 legal fee, well, are you really saving a lot of money? Oh, and one more thing they don't talk to you about. They don't talk to you about the fact that when you settle a debt, you're going to get an IRS Form 1099 at the end of the year. That is cancellation of debt income. You're going to have to declare your savings on your taxes, and you may have to pay income tax on it. You may actually have to pay income tax on the amount of money that you saved. So 40% savings, 40 cents on the dollar, 60% savings. That's pretty good. Well, then add the legal fee, then add the income tax burden that you're going to have to deal with. And are you really saving any money? And you're shooting yourself in the foot as far as your credit score is concerned. This I see over and over and over and over again, every single day. And in all fairness, and to give credit where credit is due, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is doing everything that it can. On March 15, 2016, it convinced a federal judge in California to order a company called studentloanprocessing.us, and they were a scammer, to order that company to shut down operations within 45 days and to reimburse student loan borrowers who use the company's services. And the company, as well as the owners, are barred from ever doing this kind of work again. It was the result of a lawsuit that was filed in December 2014 against the company, claiming that it had charged consumers illegal upfront enrollment fees before providing any services, deceived customers about the cost of their services, and falsely represented an affiliation with the Department of Education. The company charged customers an initial enrollment fee of 1% of their federal student loan balance, plus a monthly maintenance fee of at least $39 per month for the entire repayment term. Now, income-dependent repayment plans, they can go up to 25 years. So $39 a month for 25 years, that's incredible. The firm promised to advise and assist customers applying to student loan repayment programs, which they could have done on their own for free. So 1% of their federal student loan balance, a monthly maintenance fee of at least $39 a month for the entire repayment term. My goodness, that's a lot of money. The order tells the company to pay $8.2 million back to affected victims. Sounds great. But much of that payment is suspended because the company can't afford to pay it. What they had is $326,000. And they're giving that to the CFPB. CFPB is going to distribute it to the company's customers. So their customers are getting back nothing, nickels and dimes. And, you know, what a lot of people say when I tell them about all of this is, how can these companies possibly make so much money? Are people really that dumb? No, they're not dumb. And you know they're not dumb. You realize that if you're in student loan debt, you're not dumb, you're desperate. And if you're listening today because you've got student loans and you feel like you're drowning, you're probably feeling exactly the same way. You're looking for help, and if somebody promises you that for $39 a month they're going to make the headache go away, you're likely to cut them a check. And that's reasonable because you're not getting any information from the servicer. You're not getting any help. You're not getting any information. The servicers are not helpful. When you call up, all they want is their money or to throw you into yet another forbearance. They don't give you any information. When you go to the U.S. Department of Education's website, there's a lot of information there, but it's so dense. How do you understand it? Everybody says, if it sounds too good to be true, it likely is. Okay, yeah, but they've got the luxury of spouting off from the relative comfort and safety of not being squashed by their student loans. It's easy to be reasonable and rational when you're not looking down the barrel of a couple of $100 a month in student loan payments that you can't afford to pay. Look, you tell a drowning man that the brick you're holding is a flotation device and he's going to grab onto it so fast that your eyes are going to go blurry, because that is desperation. And we've all been there. Every single one of us who has ever had a student loan has been in that state of panic where you will grab that brick in the hopes that it's a flotation device, cross your fingers, and pray for the best. And that's what we talk about here on the Student Loan Show. We're at episode number 50. And what I'm giving to you week after week after week is this information in a way that hopefully makes some sense and hopefully helps you get to a place where you can do something about it. It's something that you can latch on to, and it's something that you can understand so that this way you can make some smart decisions for yourself. Go talk to a professional if you need advice on which way is the best way for you to turn, but that's all you need the advice for. You don't need help doing a consolidation application. You don't need help doing an income-dependent repayment plan. You need help to figure out what you should be doing, but once that's done, then you get to go out and you get to do it on your own. You're already being taken advantage of by the student loans, and the last thing that you want to have happen is agree to pay some lawyer almost $20,000 for the promise guarantee of a settlement that's going to wind out costing you just as much money, if not more, in the long term, or pay 1% of the student loan balance and $39 a month just so that somebody can babysit paperwork for you with no advice. You don't want that. So how do you avoid getting scammed? Unfortunately, it's not always so easy to tell the good guys from the bad guys. And again, that's because of that desperation. The guy holding the brick telling you that it's a flotation device, he's smiling, he's friendly, he's reassuring. And it's hard sometimes to tell who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. So I've got some tips. Number one, if a web search of the company's name turns up only promotional websites and news pieces from the company, it's probably a scam. If you do a web search for a company's name and it only shows a website and other articles that were written and clearly written by the company or people representing the company, it's a scam. Look, if a company's good, somebody's going to talk about them, right? So that's number one. Number two, if the company's website doesn't specifically talk about the people in charge, it's likely a scam. So all of these websites where they talk about we, they use the royal we have a lot of experience, we know what we're talking about, we are experts. Look, if they're not naming themselves, if they're not going to step up and put their own name on the line, something's fishy. So if they don't talk about the people in charge, it's likely a scam. Number three, if you read the company's website and think, gee, if this is true, then everyone would be out of debt. I'm smarter than everybody else. Then it's probably a scam. There's $1.3 trillion worth of student loan debt out of there. There's 4 out of every 10, remember? 4 out of every 10 borrowers not making payments at all. $121 billion worth of student loans are in default. If there were a quick fix, don't you think that everybody, and I mean everybody, would be talking about it? Don't you think that every news organization would be screaming about it from the front pages? You know, a lot of these companies that talk about the private student loan settlements, they tell you all about how the loan is invalid and it was fraudulent and it was a scam and that you're not responsible for payment on it. Why do you think they tell you that? Because that's what you were already thinking. You were already walking into the process saying, yeah, this was a scam. This whole loan was a scam. Well, they're just parroting it back to you. And if they're telling you straight away, this loan was a scam, well, wait a minute. Something's up. If every private student loan was a scam, don't you think that there would be news reports every single day? So number three is kind of the take on if it sounds too good to be true, it likely is. But I want you to view it through another lens. If suddenly you believe that you know something that nobody else in the entire country knows about, okay, there's definitely a problem. And the problem is that it's probably a scam. Number four, if you talk to the company and the person on the other end of the line is talking about your federal student loans and doesn't tell you that you can fill out the forms on your own for free, then it's likely a scam because you can. Everything that happens with respect to federal student loans, you can do on your own for free. Anybody who's going to charge you for the privilege of filling out paperwork that can be done for free is scamming you. Why would you pay anybody to do something that you can do for free? Yes, pay for advice. Yes, pay for information. Yes, pay for analysis. Fine. Even yes, pay for information on how to do something yourself. I get that. But paying just for the privilege of filling out a couple of fill-in-the-blank pages, that's a scam. Don't do that. Number five, if at the end of the phone call, you have only a vague notion of why this particular solution is the right one for you, then it's likely a scam. You should walk away from every conversation understanding exactly what's going to happen, exactly why it's going to happen, exactly how it's going to happen, and what the authority for it to happen is. You need to walk away with complete information. A lot of these scam companies, they tell you everything's going to be great. They tell you that they're going to lower your payment plan. They tell you that they're going to put you into the Obama Student Loan Forgiveness Program, which, by the way, doesn't even exist. But they don't tell you how. They don't tell you why. You know why, right? because if they told you, then you'd never pay them any money and they'd go out of business. So that's likely a scam. Number six, if the company is charging you money just to process forms, it's a scam. Again, pay for information, pay for knowledge, don't pay for forms. Number seven, if there's an ongoing monthly or annual fee that gives you nothing more than monitoring, it's a scam. If you're getting access to a professional who's going to answer questions, who's going to give you continuing education of some sort, if there's some sort of an educational component, well, that's fine. But if all they're going to do is monitor the papers, come on. There's no such thing. There is no monthly monitoring that occurs. If you do a consolidation, it's a one-time deal. If you go into an income-based repayment plan, there's a recertification every 12 months. There's no monthly monitoring fee. It's a scam. And number eight, if the company is talking to you about a private student loan of any sort, and they make you a guarantee of any sort, it's a scam. We already talked about that. Nobody can guarantee you anything. And by the way, talking about fees, any company that renegotiates or settles or reduces any debt in any way, the only time that they can collect a fee is after they have actually performed. They can't take advance fees from you. If all they're doing is charging you X percentage or X amount of money for the settlement, they can't charge a fee. That's it. And they can't promise results that they have no way of accomplishing, such as a quick relief from default or wage garnishment. A lot of companies skirt that law. They don't pay attention to it. And you wind out getting the short end of the stick. That's the eight ways to avoid getting scammed. Don't get scammed. I see it all the time. 40% of all federal student loan borrowers are not making any payments at all. More than 1 million borrowers entered default for all of 2015. Private collection agencies are hacking away at your personal bottom line. They're taking money out of your pocket to line their own pockets. The government and their collection agencies are driving you to these scams, and it's up to you and only you to be vigilant and avoid getting scammed. I gave you my eight tips. I want you to follow them. If you have a question, find yourself a lawyer who handles student loan resolution. Find yourself somebody who actually is licensed and understands what it is that they're talking about. Because if you don't, you're only hurting yourself, and I really don't want to see that happen. And if you know anybody else with a federal or a private student loan, just send them over to studentloanshow.com/SLS050. And they'll be able to get it on their own. And that's all I've got for today, for our 50th episode of the Student Loan Show. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you so much for continuing to listen. Head on over to studentloanshow.com to join the free Facebook group. It is growing by leaps and bounds every single week. And I really want you in there because we share more information and this community is helping itself. We're helping one another. And head on over to the show notes for this episode at studentloanshow.com/SLS050. You'll find all of the links to resources that we talked about on today's show, as well as all eight of my tips to avoid the student loan scammers. I will be here next week. And until then, please, as always, look both ways before crossing the street.